You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. The question, what is real? Do we know what is real? Can you prove what is real? Did the Matrix tell us that we are the only real ones? I brought along with me for this review of this new documentary, A Glitch in the Matrix, three simulations that I'm quite fond of. Joining me is Ryan.
What's going on?
Bradley.
Hello.
And Matt.
Are you guys real? I think I'm real.
Well, of course you think you're real. That's written in your code. You wouldn't be a very convincing AI if you didn't believe you were real.
I actually constantly struggle with looking around and going, is this fucking it? So,
Alan Turing was a simulation, but the person who came up with the Turing test was real.
Mind blown, sort of. I don't know. But that's what they want you to feel with this documentary, A Glitch in the Matrix, which is brought to you by documentarian Rodney Asher, who, this is kind of the thing he does. He makes these goofy, very dramatized documentaries about crazy stuff like Room 237, which explores all the conspiracy theories behind The Shining, of which, believe it or not, there are many. And The Nightmare, which got into the idea of people who have lucid dreaming and sleep paralysis. Like, wait, but what if they're really aliens? Okay. This isn't a guy who straight up goes, yeah, well, we're really taking this seriously. What if? In fact, A Glitch in the Matrix seems to really be less interested in whether or not there is any mathematical ideas of the idea that what if all of our existence is not organic, it is a simulation of some sort, and more interested in making sure no one shoots a bunch of people anymore because they believe it. Which is fine. That has value, too. It's just not what I thought I was headed into.
I needed this movie because I haven't had a stoner just beat the shit out of both of my ears at the bar about something like... like philosophically crude to the rest of us, but deep to him in a long time. And I really needed this because, like, my capsule review would be, this is flat earth for slightly smarter people.
Matt, I understand that take, and I'm going to go so far as to argue, I think they show some people here going, yeah, there's something to this idea, and then they never follow up with those people. Instead, they follow up with Elon fucking Musk, who is a crazy person, right, and goes with the craziest and most narcissistic of all possible viewpoints on this idea, which is the version of it that says, no, I'm real, and some people I like are real, but everyone else is just a NPC.
I like the concept that billionaires are PCs. It makes sense.
Well, how sad is it and cynical that this documentary suggested with Elon Musk that the real world, the base reality, I believe as Philip K. Dick called it, is just as awful as this one. And that's why all the billionaires are in charge.
And that's the take this starts from, really. It divides it up into chapters. For some reason, its primary talking heads are a bunch of gamers, basically, with no real merit to why we should take them super seriously, but they are not even represented. They have like CG computer character icons over them.
I think what they're trying to imply is that they were prominent tech workers that wanted to be anonymous. It just came off like they were just characters from Habbo Hotel.
But it's like not a single one of them has any reason to want to be anonymous. So it doesn't even make sense. It felt like it was just a design choice because it's the idea is like, oh, what if we're all just avatars in this world? Every once in a while, I get somebody interesting here, like Chris Ware, the comic book writer. And some people are a little more of a slightly saner take on this, but most of the stuff coming from these main people are crazy, and they're all coming right from the king of crazy, Philip K. Dick, who it follows with every chapter stop with saying from his great exegesis, his 8,000 page, oh fuck, nothing is real, I know this for sure, thing that he wrote. that he based pretty much everything in the second half of his career on.
Philip K. Dick just tripped super hard. They gave him too much, I can't remember if it was ketamine or I think maybe sodium pentothal, but they gave him too much of a combination analgesic with hallucinations as a side effect. And he tripped super hard in middle age and started writing really great science fiction that he kind of thought was real.
And he was a schizophrenic too, as far as I remember.
That's why he wrote A Scanner Darkly, right? Because he thinks the doctors tricked him into being addicted, which maybe that happened. Yeah, Scanner Darkly is great, by the way.
If you don't want to read exegesis, and you don't, the ultimate real sort of here's what was going on inside his head is the double take of Valis and Radio Free Albemuth, which is kind of this is the more real version of what was happening in Valis in the more fictional version, but his idea of like exploring these worlds. But a lot of people have gotten really into this. Obviously, Hollywood has explored the ideas of Philip K. Dick just God knows how many times. And as the title indicates, A Glitch in the Matrix, The Matrix being one of the biggest ones that really got deep into these ideas. And so this goes back and forth from Philip K. Dick stuff to these gamers to Matrix-y type stuff. While I found it kind of entertaining and right, like it's like the stoner at the bar boxing your ears in, but I'll disagree with you, Matt, insofar as that the idea has merit. These people just don't understand it at all and are looking at it entirely through the filter of video gaming and trying to explain it in that way.
If you want to read smart shit about the simulation theory, get you some Rudy Rucker.
Yeah, Rudy Rucker's great.
Our own chum, C. Robert Cargill's Sea of Rust is another good one that touches on it.
Yeah.
Thanks, spoiler. Yeah. I hadn't read that yet.
There's a sequel coming out.
So many of these people, too, like they just go on these long tangents about how there was just some really specific coincidence that happened to them. They were walking down the street and they thought of an orange fish, and then they went around the corner and they saw an orange fish, and it must mean that there's something more to it.
It can't possibly mean that they've been around their own block before, but they didn't consciously remember that there was an orange fish on the Chinese restaurant at the corner.
Right, and these are the type of people who, like, they make a point to say, like, oh, our world's becoming more and more secular and we're not religious, and it's like what they're doing is kind of this weird postmodern religion, it seems like. That's what it reminded me of. Like, they're just as dogmatic, you know?
If you notice, when they talked about their backgrounds, they were all cooking with a couple of the same ingredients in the teriyaki sauce. I'm hungry, I think. I keep bringing up food. I think three out of the four guys that were covered with an avatar, several of them mentioned a religious upbringing, being kind of a gifted kid, and going through a period circa freshman year of college where they were depressed and played a lot of video games. The three interviews are the same guy, basically.
Aww.
And it all sort of culminates in an interview with a guy you don't see an avatar for, but you hear the voice of, and you don't, you're just assuming he's another one of these guys. He sounds just like one of these guys. He's talking about obsessed he was with the Matrix. And turned out he's one of the crazy people who went out and shot a bunch of people and now isn't going to be in prison for the rest of his life because he went insane and bought into this idea. It's like, yeah, you don't need to tell me that obviously some people are going to take this wrong. You can touch on that. But what's weird is that that's the culmination of this thing. And yeah,
he was disassociative. If he hadn't have seen the Matrix, it would have been his neighbor's dog. You know,
it would have been something else, yeah.
That's what's weird is that that's the culmination. And yet earlier, when they have a chance to explore, easily disprove a lot of the ideas along here, like you were saying, the orange fish restaurant, and go like, look, the human brain processes information like this. They don't do it. They just don't. They're like, oh, let's set this up to be like, whoa, isn't this creepy and this weird? What if this was all true? And then in the end, it's like, well, it may be all true, but don't kill your parents.
Then the other thing is, like, from a philosophical standpoint, unless you have a means to do something about it and your speculation about the outside of the Matrix or the simulation or whatever it is that it is in some way benevolent and you can be mobile in it, it doesn't matter. It's an untestable. There's no way to, like, hash reality and see if it actually changes or not. So it's just a stoner game.
I don't know if I 100% agree with you. There's certainly been a lot of philosophical ideas of things that they say, well, isn't this a test that shows something's wrong, something's off? And mathematically, they've said it actually would explain a lot if this was all a simulation, which is the stuff they don't get into.
There's certain syllogisms in it, like the idea that if it is possible to simulate a universe, then the odds are extremely low that we're in the first one. So that's an accurate syllogism. That's a valid construct. The problem is the first premise is huge.
they make weird jumps of logic. Like they go, okay, so obviously no computer could handle this many simulations, but a self-aware archetype. So most people must be NPCs. I'm like, you're basing that on our computer model. I mean, the idea that any civilization could create something this real, if you go from that premise on, then that's all you know. You can't say, oh yeah, well, our computers couldn't handle that. That's ridiculous. And they jump from that to, so therefore, according to this theory, most people must be NPCs. And I literally, that is the first time I've ever heard that version of this theory that didn't come out of the mind of someone who had shot a bunch of people.
And it's sort of like there's a big interior contradiction in it, because if most people are NPCs, does that mean when you're on Reddit looking up the Mandela effect, you're talking to the only other non-NPCs? Wouldn't they stop the NPCs from talking about the glitches?
You know, the way I can tell is if you go up to somebody and then they offer, well, would you like to take a look at my wares? And then you know that they're not real.
It's pretty easy, actually. You just tell somebody that we live in a world where there's taco-flavored Doritos and Dorito-flavored tacos. And if they think that's cool, they're part of the system.
Wait a minute. I think that's cool.
Same.
Oh, no. What if I'm not real?
I thought tonally having one really dark through line really affected it. You're nodding along with it and you're like, this is like one of those, what the bleep do we know? Like I'm yelling at my TV. I'm having that watching Ancient Aliens, watching Ghost Adventures kind of experience. And then just hard right turn into like a Last Podcast on the Left. Like, and then I shot my mom in the face and it went everywhere. Like just really suddenly just too fucking dark.
And I just don't see what they were trying to accomplish here with this. Like I said, it's not an exploration of this idea, really. It's an exploration of where it ends up. Some people are going to take this and run with it in the wrong direction rather than genuinely really exploring all the facets of it. In fact, like we said, it takes some facets of it and just uses it for woo factor when they know very well what the answer is to those things.
It operates off what I call the Rogan fallacy, which is the you can't prove it's not.
Is that a real thing, or are we making fun of Joe Rogan?
Rogan is just a current propagator of said expression who clearly doesn't know how logic works.
He's not as scary when he only comes up to your chin.
Surprised he wasn't a talking head in this song. Honestly.
Yeah, right. I kept expecting them to bring in Joe Rogan. If Elon Musk is, then I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Here he comes.
You always think that's going to be true, but for Joe Rogan to be as rich as Joe Rogan is, he must have a manager that's smarter than Joe Rogan.
That's fair. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Bradley Simulation, what do you think? Well,
I don't mean to be reductive, but like you guys were saying earlier, a lot of these guys were like, my dad made me go to church, and I hate that, so I'm a simulation. And that's kind of interesting. Like, the documentary kept leading to these places where these men and some women, and I didn't hate any of them. I thought they seemed like nice people, except for the last guy. What they were saying, I wanted the documentarian then to sit down and be like, okay, cool, but let's really talk about what you just said. Let's talk about the grief that you experience every day bored out of your mind at church. Let's talk about that trauma that you survived. Let's talk about why anyone would want to believe they're in a simulation even. And they just don't get into it. And I know that would be kind of stepping away from the point of the documentary maybe. But that's what I thought was interesting. These people had real stories to tell, and they didn't get to tell them to someone who actually cared about what the truth is from why they think the way they do. So that was kind of a downer. Fun, goofy avatars though, right? And a lion and a peacock dragon. So I'm going to give this entertaining 6 Matrix viewings out of 10 where you don't watch the rest of the trilogy, because even this documentary knows that's terrible.
Ryan?
I think I am in complete agreement with you. I felt like it was a little disappointing just to watch on a Sunday morning, kind of lazily, to have on in the background. I thought it was kind of fun. It kind of just lightly touches upon all of these ideas, and I feel like it doesn't do it in a way that's that compelling. And like you said, Bradley, the documentarian doesn't really have any actual like analysis of what's being said. And then, yeah, it just takes like a sudden dark turn. So I've only seen Room 237, the one about The Shining. I kind of expected it to be more focused on like weird Matrix theories, maybe, which I thought that was really fun about the Room 237. And I think that this was trying to be something a little more serious when it didn't really have to be. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 NPCs T-posing.
Matt?
I'm in the same place, although it doesn't bother me personally because I'm a consumer of both. The hard ride into just really depressing stuff, I think, could really kill somebody's good time, you know? What a weird vibe it had in total. And the guy with the Monkey King avatar, the guy that, like, or Red Lion or whatever it was, his early childhood experience where he talks about, like, not believing anybody's real and thinking his dad is an agent of whatever was controlling everything that existed to keep him from having experiences. Like, that was kind of a heartbreaking thing too, but he seems to have pulled out of it during the vulnerable early 20s and not iterated it pathologically, so to speak. Yeah, I'm in the same spot where it was a lot of promise, and I was expecting something on par with Room 237, which I thought was really fun, and I thought kind of its sort of factual and logical excesses were excusable because it tied in with fandom. That softened a lot of the weirdness of what they were talking about, because that line between fictional headcanon and reality headcanon blunted it a little bit. I'm going to have to do the same, and I'm going to give this 6 out of 10. Guys with their own sensory deprivation tank, that will definitely not kill you.
You guys got a little more pleasure out of this than I do, but one of my pet peeves is badly presented information, and information that's potentially even dangerous. This is a thing that puts together a very flawed idea of what this idea is, and is putting it out there to appeal to gamers, and then ends with this guy went crazy, but that doesn't mean any of this is wrong. I'm like, they literally don't even bring in an expert to discuss what his psychological condition is and how he came to those points and what, like, compare him to other people who've had similar things from other things. No, you're like, oh, well, he went crazy because he saw through the looking glass. No, he went crazy because he's probably schizophrenic. I get it. This is a endearing idea in some ways, both horrifying and endearing, the idea, but what if nothing is real? What if none of my actions have repercussions, or whatever variety you want to take on this? But this says things like, look at this. Look, you know the thing you do in video games? Isn't that a lot like life, how life does that? And you're like, yeah, because it's people in life who are making video games based on life. What are you, an idiot? I kept saying to the screen, what are you, an idiot? Because it is. It's fucking idiotic, man. This thing is so dumb.
Is it possible that aliens put Hitler into motion? No.
I mean, if it's like, fucking choose a direction, dude. I mean, I would have been with this if it was there to genuinely have fun with all of this and go to the wackiest possible points it could, but it does kind of have a agenda, and I'm not quite sure why it had the agenda chosen that it did. And it's choppily made. The audio is badly, badly done. Like, there's a lot of techno music and stuff, and at points they try and do stuff where people's voices, like, get with the techno, and it sounds horrible and glitchy, and the video is glitchy, and they're gonna go, oh, well, maybe what if it was supposed to be glitchy? What if you have to frame by frame? You know what? Shut up. I'm not going to do that. And if someone does that, we should immediately put them into a psychological institute of some sort. Because this is not a good movie. This is not a good take on what is, at the very least, an interesting philosophical exercise. It's not even that. I really did not care for this at all. I'm going to give it 2 out of 10 eyes that hurt because you've never used them before.
Technically speaking, it's also really padded. This easily could have been 45 minutes long.
There's so much filling.
And there's a lot of, like, there's this whole thing where, like, they go into a really drag-ass, like, 101 redo of Plato's Cave. Like, there's several things in there where I'm just going, that's just 10 minutes to get it up over 60.
That's there. That reflects what Philip K. Dick is talking about, but I really don't think you need to go into real hyper length on it because we kind of already covered that with the other stuff.
I just want to say, if you're leaving the theater in 99 and all you got out of The Matrix was, am I a simulation? You're missing so much awesome from that movie. The movie is about so much more and has done so much more for cinema than, am I real?
My takeaway was, I hope I live long enough to where they can just plug you in and give you information instantly, because I want to learn Kung Fu when I'm 97.
Exactly. I mean, my first thought was, why don't they just, like, keep the people awake and just make them do miserable things?
Right?
You can just pay people. You just give them money that means nothing to exchange for food that harms them.
Why not just use cows? Yeah. If the problem was that the people were, like, kept being, wait, this is too nice. I can't be real. Then just get cows aren't going to do that, or they would have done it already.
Or have the people that you plugged in think they're cows. They won't know the difference.
There you go.
It's pastures forever.
Moo.